Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
If it's good science, you don't have to talk about a consensus. Nobody ever talks about the consensus surrounding Newton's law of gravity.
The praise team is like a two-headed monster. It doesn't know whether it is an accompanist to help the congregation sing its praise or whether it's a performer to perform on behalf of the congregation.
The problem with the ordination of women to the episcopate is that bishops ordain priests. I mean, you walk into a church on Sunday morning, there's a man standing at the altar. Do you have to walk to the front of the church and go, excuse me, Father, who ordained you?
Wisconsin turkey producers love issues, etc.
To find a book that kind of sweeps Christian women, the crowd of Christian women, is not that unusual. Many books have done this. Beth Moore writes a book. She writes a Bible study. Christian women fall all over it. And there's a danger there because the errors of someone like Beth Moore are pretty obvious. There's a kind of legalism, not even a soft legalism, at work in there. And it's pretty easy to see it. When something kind of comes at an even softer angle about how women manage their lives. I mean, after all, that's what we kind of view women to be, the managers of not only their own, but their families' lives, their husbands', their children's lives, their home, all of those things, all the expectations that are put on or taken by women can be pretty burdensome. So what's a Christian woman to do? The best advice out there, and it's not that great, is, look, there are a few great examples of what you can be and just try harder. Even if the goal isn't perfection, that perfect Proverbs woman there, get as close as you can. It doesn't have to be perfect, but, you know, God's grading on a curve, and so everyone else should as well. How do you deal with the pressures put on women today? There's a book out that claims to give some answers to that, The Nesting Place. It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful, by Michael and Smith. We're going to be reviewing that book with Adrienne Dorr-Hyens here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome on this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Adrienne, Dr. Joel Olowski will join us. We'll remember 8th century theologian, hymn writer. Oh, what is he? He is answers a lot of questions at his time and today. John of Damascus, remembered by the church tomorrow. We'll remember him today. A little bit after that, the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll go through some of the comments there that our beloved on-demand listeners have left for us and respond accordingly. Then Pastor Stanis Stanley will join us to talk about the promotion of yoga by India's new prime minister. In fact, the new prime minister of India has even appointed a minister of yoga. He says yoga belongs to India. The West has corrupted it. He wants to reclaim it, and went to the UN, actually called for another International Yoga Day. We'll see what that's all about. And then we're going to review a sermon. We haven't done that in a while here on Issues Etc. A sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Brian Flamey of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, on Matthew 21, verse 5, "Behold, your King is coming to you." A little sermon review in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @IssuesETC, or the aforementioned beloved on-demand listeners. Please use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime you need to, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the book, The Nesting Place, It Doesn't Have to Be Perfect to Be Beautiful, by Michael and Smith, Adrienne Dorr-Hyens. She's executive editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's author of a recent blog post titled, "You Don't Have to Be Perfect to Be Content." Adrienne, welcome back.
Thank you. And I'd just like to say that Wisconsin turkey farmers love Issues Etc., but so do Missouri dairy farmers.
Well, that's very nice. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to provide some kind of sound effect at the end. So, tractor, milking machine, cattle lowing, any of those.
I'll see if I can get you a clip.
All right. That you just put it on the comment line, and we'd be happy to use it. What about this book? Tell us about this book, The Nesting Place, and its appeal to women.
Yeah, there's a lot of books out there recently that sort of get at this idea of Christian hospitality. And so that has a lot of appeal to, I think, us as women, because we do care about others. It's ingrained in who we are, that we care about our families and our homes and those that the Lord has placed into our lives. And so this book, The Nesting Place, talks a lot about hospitality, about making your home your own and how you decorate and the people that you invite into it and that sort of thing, which are all very commendable topics. But I think the biggest thing that's come out of this, as you mentioned, is the hashtag even that's going around. It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. And a lot of people glom onto that because upon, you know, first hearing it, it sounds like a good thing, you know, that you can live your life and it can be messy and real and raw and that it's okay. The danger, I think, in that is that nobody ever said that it did have to be perfect to be beautiful. You know, in fact, as Lutherans, we know that life isn't perfect. We know that because of sin that life is messy and gory. And so we see these folks, and I think Lutheran women, too, fall prey to this, you know, saying, well, my house isn't perfect. I didn't discipline my kids today. You know, the best I could do was to fold a couple of T-shirts, but it doesn't matter because it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. You know, the danger in this is that taking care of your family, taking care of your home, is beautiful because it is what the Lord would have you do. That's your vocation. That is His holy calling for you, to care for your family, to care for your church, to care for your country. And you do that because He cared for you first. So we pay very careful attention to the fact that books like this, the sort of pop Christianity books that have a big appeal to women, a lot of time they're law-based. Anne Voskamp is another one. You know, she's a kind woman. She's an evangelical, a farmer's wife, a homeschooling mom. She's very accessible. She blogs at aholyexperience.com, and women love her because she talks about the hospitality that comes with being in the home. But we look at even the name of her blog, A Holy Experience. That ought to send up warning flares for us right away. You know, our feelings, our emotions, they betray us. Our Lord comes to us in concrete and tangible ways, not in experiences. He locates Himself in concrete and tangible places for us. He isn't an experience. And so when you start to lean into those kind of languages and ways of speaking about things, we aren't focusing on and we aren't looking toward the fact that Jesus is tangible, that He is God and man, that He has promised He will be in tangible places, on His altar, in the baptismal font, that He forgives us through the mouthpiece of our pastor, that we don't deal in experiences, that He comes to us in earthy stuff. So as women, while these things sound good and they appeal to who we are as women, they're very law-based, and that can be a difficult way to live.
So talk a bit about the pressure that women feel, especially in an age when there are kind of these icons of feminine. It's not perfection, but it's kind of the ideal that's out there. The Ree Drummond, who, you know, has this beautiful big family out in Oklahoma. She cooks. I've never eaten one of her recipes that I didn't love. The ideal life. And she has that American dream, which is from blogger to Food Network star, that may be in the heart of many women's private dreams. And the kind of pressure that women feel through that, through social media, through interaction with other women, you know, socially or at church, to, I don't know, they used to say have it all, Adrian, but I don't know if it's have it all anymore. What is it? What's the pressure?
Yeah, I think it's intriguing you point this out, because we live in a time where people make more money and have more stuff and get to go on more vacations than ever before. And yet we also have the highest rate of depression. and suicide and all of those things that indicate that no matter how much we have or how many opportunities we have, we are still a sad and a fundamentally lonely people. We're living in a generation, and I think when you can speak to the women in it because I know women best, but, you know, we feel like we are never doing enough, that our homes aren't perfect enough, that we haven't been good enough Christians, that our life isn't purposeful enough. And so in the midst of all this craziness where we think that we are so busy and we're so stressed out and we have no time, we feel the pressure to do still more. And so you have people looking for and desperately trying to find a sense of calm in all of this chaos. And so rather than turning to our Lord, who tells us that he has a peace that passes all understanding, because we are sinners, we choose to look to ourselves. And if not to ourselves, then we look to others. And I think that's when the worry piles on even thicker. So my house is never going to be as clean as the girls I follow on Instagram. I will probably never have a Christmas tree that is as gorgeous as some of the ladies that I follow on blogs. And so it's easy to start a really unhealthy habit of thinking that we have to do something bigger or better to prove our value and our worth. And I think that the way women usually turn out is that we fall off the horse on one side or the other. Either you take the sort of evangelical route and you try to make sense out of all this stress and comparison, or you just turn to apathy and you say, well, I can never do it enough and so I don't care. And that, I think, is a result of simply bad theology. You know, my sisters and I saw this meme last week that said, comparison is the thief of joy. And that's going around in these sort of, you know, circles of women trying to sort all of this out. And so that the idea is that if you just stop comparing yourself to others, then you'll find joy. Well, that's actually false. You know, the devil is the thief of joy. He is the one who would have you worry that you're not enough or that your purpose comes from earthly things instead of from your baptism. And so you have this group of women who are insecure and worried and lost, and they are attempting to find answers in places and from the world where there simply are none. And that only adds to and fuels their frustration.
Before we go to this break, what is that term that you use before a purposeful life, an intentional life? Sometimes the other adjectives are authentic or fully integrated, all those kinds of things that are making the rounds. What are those?
I think that's an attempt to say that the life we're living right now isn't good enough, that the vocation that the Lord has put us in to care for one another, to care for our family, isn't somehow already with purpose, isn't what he would already have us do. My sisters and I were raised on the Little House on the Prairie books, and my sister likes to remind me, you know, Ma Ingalls didn't have time to worry about whether or not her life was purposeful or whether it had meaning or whether she was living intentionally enough. She was simply trying to keep food on the table and to keep her children from freezing in the winter. You know, that doesn't mean that we go back and we shun all of these earthly blessings the Lord has to give us. We don't deny those. But we can learn from people like that we actually have a lot of time on our hands, that we have time to worry about things like whether our homes are beautiful enough or whether our lives have enough meaning. It's a myth to say that we're too busy and that we can't do it all. And so instead, we pray about these things. We go to the Lord in frequent prayer and we repent for thinking that the life he's given us and that his good and gracious will for us isn't enough.
Adrienne Dorheinz is our guest. She's executive editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine and author of a recent blog post titled, You Don't Have to Be Perfect to Be Content. We're reviewing the book, The Nesting Place, It Doesn't Have to Be Perfect to Be Beautiful, by Mike Willand Smith. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Please consider making a special Advent gift to Issues Etc. With 4 weeks left in the year, we're almost $62,000 short of making expenses. You can make a year-end tax-deductible contribution by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end donation online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Advent season.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God, for unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, adcrucem.com.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're reviewing the book, The Nesting Place, It Doesn't Have to Be Perfect to Be Beautiful by Michael and Smith. Adrian Dorr-Heinz is our guest. Adrian, it sounds like the issue that you take with the solution that's offered not only in this book but in many others that come from a Christian perspective is that they just ever so slightly distort what could be the biblical teaching of vocation. I mean, it understands a woman in her relationship to her neighbors, but it locates the comfort in kind of, I'm doing my best and it doesn't have to be perfect, rather than in baptism in Christ, which really drives vocation, which turns the Christian outside himself to every neighbor that you may have.
That's correct. I think that it's probably something that all women struggle with, and that's why these books are so popular. But at the end of the day, I think that our Lord has a word of comfort for us, and that's what we cling to. When I was younger, my parents sent me, we were not such good Lutherans at the time, my parents sent me to an evangelical free church for a program that was called AWANA. It stood for Approved Workmen Are Not Ashamed. And basically, the gist of it was that you got to go and play games and learn Bible verses, and the really awesome thing was that for every 10 Bible verses you learned, you got a free can of pop. So as a chubby little kid, that was a great incentive to, learn Bible verses. I learned 800 of them, and so you can do the math. It's more soda than any child should ever have. But one of the verses that I did learn there that my family still teases me about, that I still remember, is Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as you have. And so as a little 8 or a 10-year-old, I would wander around my parents' home, and whenever anybody in my family complained, I would spout off that verse, be content with such things as you have. And it became a family joke, but that verse hasn't left me because there is such truth in it. We spend so much time and expend so much energy trying to keep up with the Joneses and to make excuses for ourselves when we don't, that it's almost absurd. But as I've grown older, I've grown to love all of Hebrews 13, not just Hebrews 13:5, because that chapter continues. It doesn't just say, be content, the end. It says, be content with what you have, because Jesus has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the beauty in contentment. The beauty is that Christ has already done it all. So when we as women fall down on the job in our homes or our jobs or whatever the case may be, when we are hashtagging, it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful, we already know who is perfect, and that is Christ. And so we surround ourselves with people who remind us of that, who remind us of the joy of our vocation. You know, we stay in God's word. We repent. We go to confession when the law weighs us down, or conversely, when we, you know, are plagued by apathy, by simply saying, I can't do it all, and so I quit. You know, we revel in Christ's forgiveness for us. And then we get to live joyfully as Christians in this world. We don't have to worry about whether life is intentional or purposeful enough. We simply live in Christ's grace. That is what is truly beautiful, that his grace is perfect, and it is beautiful because it is undeserved, and it is freely given, and it is all for us. So if there is something to focus on, if there is a joy in our vocation, it is that the Lord has already done it all, and that he is the one who has given us this holy calling and this task that we get to do.
Does it reflect a general problem in kind of the evangelical solution for most things, kind of rooted in this theology that locates Jesus, his forgiveness, even my repentance in the past? He's really, really useful for getting you in the door. And that's where repentance belongs too. And then the rest of your life is kind of trying to figure out what he wants you to do with your life. Then he goes from being Savior to being kind of a mysterious boss that never gives you very clear instructions. Kind of hints, expects you to figure out what he wants without clearly telling you. Is that part of the general problem that these books for women reflect?
Absolutely. And I think we need to be very purposeful, if we can use that word, and pay careful attention to the fact that comfort that the world has to offer is mostly law. And it's often kind of glossed over with a really pretty and beautiful veneer, but it is still law, and we fight that. We don't fall prey to the Anne Voskamp idea that if you're not living purposefully enough, even though she doesn't really offer a marker to know how much you're supposed to be living, we don't fall prey to that idea that you're not living the life the Lord has for you. You also don't fall prey to the flip side, which is to say that you forgo your duties as a mom or a wife or a daughter because you're never going to do them well enough. We toss out this theory that, you know, we don't know if we're living out God's will or not, or if we're living with enough purpose, because we do know our purpose. We do know God's will for our life. We do know that his will for us is perfect and that it is good, that he has given us the Ten Commandments to show how we live in and among one another. We know that his will for us is to live in our baptisms, to find joy in Christ, and not in how well we're living or how clean our homes are or if our kids, you know, faces are messy when we go to the grocery store. Christ alone gives us peace, and he alone gives us joy. He alone is the one who answers our prayers when we repent, and we ought to, of falling down on either side of trusting the law, or when we simply give up and just choose not to care.
You talk about, you know, showing up with kids' dirty faces at the grocery store, but I think a lot of the time for it's that, and for Christian women, it's wanting to put on the bravest and the best face. Not only at the grocery store, but especially on Sunday morning at church, where the expectations on the women are probably most keenly felt. You know, the guy can show up and sit in the pew, but if the kids are misbehaving, the reproachful glances usually go to mom rather than to dad. Talk about that, if you would.
That is true. And I think part of that women simply have to learn is that you, at some point in life, you stop worrying about yourself and about how you feel, and you stop worrying about what other people think about you or what you think they think about you, and you simply live in your vocation. You do what needs to be done, and you stop worrying about what everyone else may think. My dad, when we were growing up as young girls and we thought, you know, the world was coming to an end and we were melting down over some kind of drama, my dad was renowned for looking at us girls and saying, "You're not unique." And it seems really harsh that he would say something like that, but it was a good reminder and a good lesson to us that we're not going through or experiencing something that other people haven't felt. Other moms have felt this weight, other wives have felt it too, and they've survived because the Lord is good, and he promises to care for us. You know, the devil loves to cause us to doubt. He loves for us to worry and to think, well, you know, the Lord isn't good and that he won't take care of us and that person is thinking my child is wildly misbehaving. And it's simply not true. You know, our Lord does love us. He does provide for us. He has promised that he will care for us, and he doesn't go back on his word. So in moments of doubt, when we as women are worried about our children or our home or our cooking, you know, when we doubt our self-worth, when we doubt our ability to be good sisters or moms or employees, we hold God to his word that he means good for us and that he has good things for us and that he has promised to forgive us and to love us. And then we rest in the comfort that he will and that he does.
So that it sounds like finally here you're saying that the contentment that so many women long for really has its root in the comfort that you've been describing there.
It is. It's in the comfort of the gospel, which is always freeing, especially for women who doubt their value and their worth. The Lord has given you all of that in your baptism. Whether your house is a train wreck or whether it's beautiful, you are still a baptized child of God. You have been given all the gifts of heaven by the creator of the universe who loves you. There's simply nothing more freeing and more giving of joy than that.
Adrian Dorr-Heinz is executive editor of the Lutheran Witness magazine, and she's authored a recent blog post titled "You Don't Have to Be Perfect to Be Content." We will post a link to it at our website as well as a link to the Lutheran Witness magazine, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Adrian, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Dr. Joel Olowski is going to join us. We're going to remember, along with the church remembers tomorrow, 8th century theologian and hymn writer John of Damascus. Dr. Joel Olowski of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest right after this to tell us a little bit about John of Damascus.
Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Mary's Song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple. The Issues Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click Support, the Issues, Etc. 300.